What I am about to tell you might unsettle you. The truth is, nobody cares. Nobody cares about you like you do. Think about that. Nobody cares about you as much as you care about yourself. In the end, nobody cares who you are, where you are, or what you are doing. They may see, and then they forget the next second. We live in a desensitized world, but this is a truth that permeates throughout human history. The people that focus on themselves are always ahead of the pack. You are not entitled to applause. You are not owed validation. You will not be rescued from the weight of your own thoughts. These are hard truths, but necessary ones. We live in a world flooded with attention-seeking, where people scream into the void hoping someone will notice, hoping someone will care. But here is the harsh wisdom of the Stoics. Nobody owes you a reaction. Nobody is obligated to understand your dreams, your pain, or your ambition. Nobody is responsible for carrying your burden except you. And yet, that is exactly where your power begins. The illusion that others will come to save you is what keeps most people stuck. It is what feeds resentment, breeds entitlement, and paralyzes potential. When you stop expecting the world to care, you begin to take radical ownership of your life. That shift, though uncomfortable, is where transformation begins. The Stoics taught not to live for the eyes of others, but for the approval of your own reason. It is not enough to appear wise or virtuous. You must become it in silence, whether or not anyone witnesses it. You will not find peace by trying to manipulate the outside world. The world is chaos. People's opinions are unstable. Their attention is scattered. You will find peace by mastering the one world that is truly yours, your mind. That is the Stoic way. That is how you stop waiting for life to change and start shaping yourself in the face of it. When you understand that nobody is watching as closely as you think, the performance ends. And when the performance ends, your real work can begin. The work that is not curated or filtered or broadcasted, the internal work, the silent strength, the kind that builds resilience, the kind that doesn't demand attention but earns respect through consistency. This is not a cold message, this is a freeing one. Because when you realize that nobody cares the way you think they do, you stop performing and start becoming. You stop chasing and start cultivating. And when you begin to focus on yourself, truly, with discipline, with clarity, with purpose, you become unstoppable. You no longer react to life. You respond with grounded conviction. You no longer seek to be understood. You seek to understand. And in that shift, you discover a kind of power that the crowd will never give you. The quiet confidence of someone who knows who they are, no matter who is watching. Let's begin. Chapter 1. The Myth of the Audience. One of the greatest traps in life is the belief that people are constantly watching, judging, evaluating our every move. This illusion creates anxiety. It breeds hesitation. It robs us of authenticity and roots us in fear. The Stoics knew better. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "It never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than other people, but care more about their opinions than our own." Why live your life for an audience that isn't even paying attention? The more you try to be seen, the more invisible you become to your true self. Your co-workers or old friends from the past aren't spending their nights thinking about your choices. Your old classmates aren't tracking your progress. Even your closest friends have lives too complicated to obsess over yours. They have their own fears, goals, regrets, and battles to fight. Even those who care for you deeply have only so much bandwidth to devote to your journey. Their world doesn't revolve around you, just as yours cannot revolve around them. Yet so many are frozen by the imagined gaze of others. We post, we pose, we pause before every decision, wondering what they might think. We seek likes as if they were love, comments as if they were counsel, shares as if they were support. But the truth is, they probably won't think at all, not about you, not for long. Most people scroll, react briefly, and move on. Their attention is momentary. Their opinions are fleeting. Why surrender your entire sense of self to such impermanence? Even worse, why construct your identity in reaction to people who will forget what they saw tomorrow? It is a waste of your presence, a theft of your inner compass. Each time you hesitate because you wonder what someone might think, you fracture your alignment. You turn away from your own principles, your own path. This is the cost of imagined spectatorship, the death of authenticity. This understanding is not meant to isolate you, but to liberate you. It invites you to move from performance to purpose. If no one is watching, then act not to impress, but to improve. Build not to be seen, but to be solid. Live not for praise, but for peace. The absence of an audience is not the absence of meaning. It is the beginning of meaning. It is the space where integrity grows. It is the proving ground where you test your values, where you create without applause, and where you practice the discipline of showing up even when no one is looking. This kind of growth is invisible at first, but profound in time. It doesn't come with fireworks or social approval. It comes with an unshakable center. It builds not through spectacle, but through self-trust, through hours of silence and effort and invisible victories that only you will know. When you remove the noise of validation, you make space for truth. You stop calibrating your life to opinions and start shaping it by principle. In this silence, in this solitude, you will discover something powerful. The only voice you must answer to is your own conscience. It is not the crowd's cheers that will echo in your soul, but your own internal dialogue. When the crowd disappears, your character speaks louder. Your actions no longer require validation. They become extensions of your values. They become the reflection of your inner order, your priorities, your virtue. You become your own compass, your own audience, your own witness. Let that freedom wash over you. Let it sink in like a healing balm. Nobody is watching closely, and that's exactly why you can now walk freely. Walk forward without looking over your shoulder. You do not need to be watched to walk upright. You do not need to be seen to be worthy. In fact, the Stoics believed that true worth is forged in obscurity. You build character in the quiet hours. You shape discipline when no one is clapping. You become noble when no one is handing you a medal. Let your actions be guided not by vanity, but by virtue. Not by impressions, but by insight. Seneca taught that a wise man is content with himself, not content in stagnation, but in direction. He knows where he's going, and he walks with his eyes on the path, not the crowd. He walks with the steadiness of someone whose values are internal, not external. The crowd shifts, the trends rotate, the moods of others rise and fall. But the path of virtue, of courage, of temperance, endures. Walk it with intention. Walk it even when it's lonely. Walk it especially when it's quiet. Live in a way that would make sense even if no one ever found out what you did. That's the measure of true strength. That's the myth of the audience, undone. That's when your life stops being performance and starts becoming principle. Begin your day with one simple question. Am I doing this for me or for them? When you decide your actions, remove the imaginary audience. Close your eyes. Ask yourself, if nobody ever knew I did this, would I still do it? That question reveals your truth, and living by it gives you back your power. Chapter 2. Entitlement destroys growth. There is a dangerous belief that plagues the mind, the idea that we are owed something, that because we try, we deserve support. Because we hurt, we should get help. Because we exist, we deserve recognition. The Stoics dismantled this myth. Life owes you nothing. Not happiness, not love, not fairness. And that is what makes it beautiful. because in the absence of guarantees, everything you build holds real weight. It means something. Expecting something just because you showed up is a trap. It conditions you to wait rather than work, to demand rather than develop. When you believe the world owes you comfort or praise, every setback feels like betrayal, every silence feels like rejection. But Epictetus said, "Don't seek for everything to happen as you wish it would, but rather wish that everything happens as it actually will. Then your life will flow well." This is the Stoic embrace of reality, not defeatism, clarity. The root of suffering is not pain itself, it is resistance to what is. You cannot master what you reject. You cannot grow from what you deny. When we believe we deserve a different life, a different outcome, we grow bitter. And bitterness is a poison you drink while hoping life feels sorry for you. To grow is to accept the reality that nothing is promised. Not love, not support, not success, not comfort, not justice. Every day is earned and every breath is a gift. You could have been born elsewhere. You could have been dealt a worse hand. You could have lost more than you've already lost. And yet, here you are, breathing, capable, thinking, feeling. That is not nothing. That is not ordinary. It is rare. It is fragile. And it is powerful. The very fact that you are alive with a mind capable of reason is your starting point. The sooner you release your grip on entitlement, the faster you accelerate your journey. The faster you stop asking life to be fair and start becoming stronger than what is unfair. That's the pivot. That's where personal evolution begins. Not when you get what you want, but when you choose who you will be regardless of what you get. Life is not a negotiation where effort guarantees outcome. It is a test of character under uncertainty. The Stoics didn't measure success by results, but by integrity. They believed that the true reward of life is becoming the kind of person who remains composed when nothing goes their way. So when nothing is promised, you don't despair. You prepare. You train yourself to build from scratch. You accept the risk of heartbreak, the cost of discipline, the loneliness of leadership, all without a demand for applause. You learn to become sturdy when life becomes stormy. Letting go of entitlement doesn't mean becoming cold or cynical. It doesn't mean hardening your heart or closing your hands. It means becoming empowered. It means stepping into full accountability. It means no more waiting for the right time, no more blaming others, no more hoping for rescue. It means saying, "No one owes me anything, so I will build it myself. I will shape my destiny through the choices I make when no one sees. I will cultivate my mind, sharpen my discipline, and walk forward without needing approval or assistance." This is self-respect in action. It's looking in the mirror and knowing that your progress belongs to you, not to your parents, not to your partner, not to your past, not to society, not to luck, to you. And that truth is both a burden and a blessing, because if it's up to you, it's also within you. You are the builder. You are the vessel. You are the reason. You are the spark that ignites the fire and the hand that shapes the stone. You are the one who must begin when no one tells you to and persist when no one cheers for you. You are the answer to the questions you've been asking, the strength you've searched for, the clarity you've craved, the permission you've waited for. All of it is within you. You have been equipped with everything you need, the reason to start, the courage to continue, and the potential to finish. Entitlement waits. Ownership moves. And movement is how transformation takes root. When you stop expecting life to hand you what you haven't earned, you gain the freedom to begin shaping yourself without limits. You stop asking for a lighter load and start building a stronger back. Choose movement over waiting. Choose ownership over complaint. Choose to meet life not with a clenched fist full of demands, but with an open mind ready to adapt and a grounded heart steady enough to endure. Choose clarity over confusion, deliberate steps over chaotic noise. The world will not stop to hand you peace. It will not pause to clarify your purpose. You must do that work yourself. Peace is something you cultivate, not something you receive. And purpose is something you earn, not something you stumble upon. But when you stop waiting, you stop being at the mercy of the storm. You begin to walk into it with your eyes open. You begin to build shelter where others seek escape. You become the person who finds steadiness in the middle of uncertainty. This is the essence of Stoic strength, not fantasy, not dependency, but courageous, deliberate, daily construction of your character. It is what you choose when no one reminds you, what you uphold when no one applauds you, what you correct when no one sees you. Strength is not forged in the spotlight, but in the shadows. Choose to act as if no one is coming to save you, because that's the moment you begin to rise. That's the moment you realize the one you've been waiting for is already here, and it's you. You are the lighthouse in your own storm. Your future self is watching. Your past self is counting on you. Let them both witness the day you stopped waiting and started becoming. Let them see the moment you stopped reaching out for a hand and started becoming the foundation. Write down three things you believe the world owes you, then cross them out. Literally, draw a line through each one. Replace them with three things you will earn yourself. Post this on your wall. Let it remind you that you are not waiting, you are working. Chapter 3. Radical ownership of your mind. The Stoics believed that the mind is the only territory you truly own. Not your house, not your job, not your reputation, just your mind. It is the last kingdom of freedom, the last frontier of true sovereignty. And most people have abandoned it without even realizing. They guard their phones more fiercely than their thoughts. They polish their resumes more attentively than they refine their beliefs. They invest more energy in their outer image than their inner order. But the mind, your thoughts, your reason, your choices, is where your power lives. That is where character is built. That is where freedom is preserved. That is where every act of discipline, restraint, resilience, and courage begins. Instead of ruling their inner world, most people rent it out to distractions, to public opinion, to fear, to trends. They surrender their sovereignty one scroll, one opinion, one emotional outburst at a time. They open the gates of their mental fortress to every passing disturbance and then wonder why they feel defeated. They are slaves to noise, external and internal. They consume instead of create. They panic instead of prepare. But Marcus Aurelius said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. Strength not in silence alone, but in command, of reaction, of direction, of clarity. You can't control the storm, but you can control the captain. And your mind is the captain. If you abandon that post, you are at the mercy of every wind and wave. But if you claim that post, you can steer through anything. When you stop looking outward for peace and start fortifying your inner citadel, everything changes. It's like laying brick on top of brick within your own skull, restructuring your foundation until your emotional world stands unshaken. You start seeing patterns where there was only noise. You start choosing your response instead of rehearsing your reaction. Every thought becomes a stone, every principle a beam of support. Your emotions become tools, not tyrants. Your thoughts become companions, not saboteurs. Your attention becomes a weapon, not a weakness. You stop being pulled by the chaos around you and start moving from an anchored core within you. You begin to notice how little control you actually need over the external world when your internal world is firmly governed. You become less interested in what's trending and more invested in what's timeless. You become less anxious about people's opinions and more obsessed with your own clarity. You stop chasing stimulation and start building stillness. You become centered. You become stable. You become sharp. This kind of ownership is rare because it demands accountability. It demands discomfort. It demands that you stop avoiding yourself and begin facing what is inside you without filters, excuses, or masks. It demands you stop seeking distraction and start seeking direction. The distractions feel easier. They're louder, shinier, more instantly gratifying, but they are a mirage. They delay your progress and disguise your power. Direction requires clarity, and clarity requires courage. It requires honesty about what you've let take root in your mind. The beliefs, the comparisons, the self-deceptions that have silently shaped your actions. Many people carry beliefs planted by others, by culture, by childhood wounds, by media narratives. And without awareness, these ideas silently dictate their choices. Radical ownership demands you examine those seeds. It requires brutal inner work, the kind where you confront your thoughts not with judgment, but with curiosity and discipline. You become your own mental architect, demolishing old structures and building something stronger in their place. It means learning to sit in silence long enough to hear the voice beneath the noise. It means asking hard questions without rushing toward easy answers. It requires that you journal, reflect, question, correct, and return to yourself over and over again. You don't do this once and call it done. You make it a rhythm, a daily rhythm of coming home to yourself, no matter how chaotic the world becomes outside. It is not always dramatic. Often it's quiet, repetitive, and inconvenient. But it's in those small, often invisible moments that greatness takes shape. It asks you to stop blaming, stop complaining, and begin building, not just once, every day, especially when it's boring, especially when it's hard, especially when no one notices. That is when your character is carved, when nobody's watching but you show up anyway. When it doesn't feel exciting, but you choose discipline. When it's easier to hide, but you choose to lead yourself forward. It is in these quiet, unglamorous moments that strength takes root. The kind of strength that cannot be faked, cannot be borrowed, and cannot be bought. The kind of strength that comes only from keeping your word to yourself when nobody else knows you made one. The world may be chaotic, but your response is your responsibility. That sentence alone could be your entire philosophy. It contains the fire and the calm. It strips away excuse and gives you back control. You are not responsible for what comes at you, but you are absolutely responsible for what comes out of you. You cannot dictate the wind, but you can trim your sails. You cannot avoid all pain, but you can avoid wasting it. Your composure, your resilience, your thoughts, all of them are your daily duty to shape and refine. They are not random. They are not outside of your influence. They are malleable, like clay in your hands. You can choose what stays and what is replaced. You can decide what grows and what gets uprooted. No one else is thinking your thoughts. No one else is filtering your attention. No one else is managing your focus. That is your job. It is sacred work. It is the quiet labor of the soul. It is the most noble form of labor a person can engage in, governing your own inner world with courage and clarity. It's not glamorous. It won't get likes. But it will get you back, piece by piece, day by day. And the Stoics would tell you that how you tend to your mind is the clearest reflection of your character. It's not how you speak in public, but how you think in private. It's not the mask you wear, but the muscle you train inside. Your thoughts when you are alone, your self-talk when you fail, your discipline when no one will know. That is who you are. Guard it like a fortress, shape it like a craftsman, reclaim it like a warrior returning home. Fortify it with discipline, furnish it with reason, defend it with intention, and do it with patience, because mastery doesn't shout, it whispers through repetition. Because when you master your mind, you become sovereign in a world that rewards obedience to noise. You become your own anchor. You no longer follow the crowd. You follow your code. You become unshakable. You become clear. You become free. And freedom, in the Stoic sense, is not escape. It is control, not of the world, but of yourself. Take 10 minutes each morning to sit in silence. No phone, no music, no distractions of any kind. Just you and your thoughts. Sit with them like you'd sit with an old friend. Not to judge, not to fix, but to listen. Observe them without resistance. Notice the patterns, the repetition, the quiet whispers of fear or hope you might usually ignore. In this silence, your true inner world begins to speak. Write down three thoughts that serve you, thoughts that are constructive, clarifying, and aligned with your principles. Then write down three thoughts that sabotage you, those that bring fear, self-doubt, or needless worry. Don't just acknowledge these thoughts, interrogate them. Ask where they came from. Ask if they are rooted in fact or in fear. Keep the helpful ones, strengthen them. Return to them throughout the day. Question the harmful ones. Challenge their authority. Replace them with something better, something rooted in virtue and grounded in reason. Over time, this practice rewires your perception. Your mind becomes less reactive and more reflective. You begin to see through the noise. You begin to master the art of attention. Do this daily, without fail. Watch how your mental environment begins to shift, not in dramatic bursts, but in steady, silent progress. This is how a Stoic begins the day, with awareness, with clarity, with control. Chapter 4: The Discipline of Self-Focus. To focus on yourself is not selfish. It is strategic. It is survival. In a world where attention is currency, wasting it on others' drama is spiritual bankruptcy. The Stoics prize discipline not in the pursuit of perfection, but in the pursuit of clarity. They knew that a distracted man is a defeated man. You cannot build a strong body while watching others lift. You cannot write your story while reading theirs. You cannot grow your soul by scrolling through curated illusions. Every ounce of energy given to comparison is an ounce stolen from transformation. Every moment you spend consumed by someone else's path is a moment stolen from your own. Each glance towards someone else's success can become a blindfold over your own potential. The Stoic knows this. They do not chase after others. They chase after alignment. Watching others win does not train your resolve. Admiring someone else's strength will not make your own muscles grow. You must be your own standard, your own motivator, your own audience. Self-focus means redirecting your gaze inward. It means measuring yourself not against others, but against your own potential. Are you better today than yesterday? Are you thinking more clearly? Are you moving with more intention? These are the metrics of the Stoic. They are simple questions with profound weight. They reorient you toward truth. The outside world urges you to compare. It tells you to measure your worth in likes, in followers, in the highlight reels of strangers. The Stoic urges you to clarify, to root yourself in who you are becoming, not who others appear to be. Real growth is quiet. It doesn't scream for attention. It doesn't announce itself with applause. It builds in the stillness, in the privacy of your own discipline. It is personal, it is internal, it is sacred, and it is invisible to those who only see performance. The only comparison that matters is the one between your past self and your present integrity. The only measurement that counts is whether you are living aligned, not just looking impressive. Discipline is not about doing the hard thing once. It's about doing the essential thing repeatedly. It's about choosing the path that serves you, even when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, and unnoticed. It is the commitment to yourself when no one is watching, when no one is praising, when no one is validating. It's about keeping your promise to yourself, even when it feels like progress is invisible. It is the quiet repetition that builds greatness, the unseen hours, the small refinements, the deliberate returns to purpose when distraction tempts you. Discipline is the structure beneath the surface, the invisible framework that makes you solid when life tests you, and it always will. Discipline is not reactive, it's proactive. It prepares you before the storm hits. It equips you to lead yourself when you are exhausted and uninspired. It's what keeps you grounded when chaos strikes, and what keeps you ascending when inspiration fades. It's the invisible armor you wear when the world demands you fall apart. It's the voice that says again when you'd rather stop. It's the resilience that forms when you refuse to negotiate with excuses. It's the integrity you grow when you choose what is right over what is easy. Every time you obey that voice, you become stronger, not louder, not more popular, but stronger in the places that matter most, in courage, in consistency, in inner peace, in composure, in control, in character. That is the work, that is the way, that is the Stoic's path. It is a path defined not by ambition, but by alignment, not by noise, but by the clarity that only self-discipline can produce. It does not depend on external rewards or momentary spikes of motivation. It is not measured in claps, trophies, or posts. It is measured in resolve. It is the path of the one who rises not because of attention, but because of intention. The one who answers the silence with structure. A path walked not for applause, but for truth. Not for spectators, but for the soul. It is quiet, it is deliberate, and it is hard, but it is the only path that leads to lasting peace. It does not change based on weather, moods, or trends. It remains like stone and demands that you carve yourself with patience against its resistance. Every step you take on that path strengthens you, even if it feels slow, even if it feels invisible, even if the results take longer than you hoped. Progress is not always loud, but it is always accumulating. Every time you resist distraction, you reinforce direction. Every time you keep a promise to yourself, your integrity sharpens. Your character is molded in those small, thankless moments. The Stoic's path is not paved with comfort, but with courage. Not decorated with praise, but anchored in principle. It asks you to be consistent when convenience fails, to act on values when your emotions rebel, to persist when motivation disappears. It does not ask for showmanship, it asks for strength. And every day you choose that path, even when no one notices, even when it feels like you're walking uphill in silence, you become more powerful, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of your highest self. The version of you that you are becoming watches closely. It does not shout. It observes. It does not cheer. It remembers. And in that quiet observation, a deeper kind of respect is earned. Self-respect, the only applause that echoes forever. It is the soundless standing ovation of a soul that knows it stayed true. It is the reward that cannot be taken, cannot be faked, and cannot be bought, only earned. One disciplined day at a time. Set a time block each day called No Comparison Hour. During this hour, stay off social media. Reflect on your own growth. Journal your progress. Identify one area of weakness and set one small action to improve it. Keep that promise. Repeat daily. This is how discipline becomes identity. Chapter 5. From Reaction to Response. Most people are walking triggers. One comment, one look, one headline, and they spiral. One missed text, one rude glance, one piece of bad news, and suddenly their whole day is hijacked. Their mood shifts, their focus dissolves, and their emotional balance is shattered. Their mind becomes the hostage of an emotion they never stop to examine. The chain reaction is automatic and unconscious. But the Stoic is different. He does not react, he responds. He does not flinch in the face of chaos. He steps back, observes, and acts with clarity. He creates space between what happens and what he does about it. This is power. Not the power to control the world, but the power to control himself within it. And in that control, he becomes immune to manipulation. Reactivity is the mark of the untrained mind. It is emotional slavery. It's what happens when your nervous system is your master and your mind is too quiet to intervene. It's what happens when external chaos becomes internal collapse. But to respond is to reclaim your throne. It is to say, I will not be ruled by external noise. I will not outsource my peace to random events. I will not allow the unpredictable world to dictate my predictable character. I will choose my response. I will move deliberately. I will not let life drag me. I will shape it. Response is not a delay. It is a declaration, a decision to pause, to think, to insert willpower where instinct used to be, to intervene before your emotions do damage that your reason must repair. Seneca taught, a wise man is content with himself, not because he does not wish for more, but because he has trained himself not to be shaken by less. This is not apathy, it is awareness. It is not indifference, it is influence. It is not that the Stoic does not feel, it is that he does not allow feelings to make his decisions. It is the understanding that between stimulus and response lies your freedom, and in that space is your power to choose. That is where your dignity lives. That is where your sovereignty begins. Will you be a puppet pulled by emotion, or a person led by reason? Will you let every insult take root, or will you filter life through your values, not your wounds? When you move from reaction to response, you move from weakness to strength. You step out of the whirlpool of impulse and into the steadiness of principle. You shift from being a product of your environment to a producer of your behavior. Instead of echoing the chaos around you, you start broadcasting clarity. You stop being bounced around by life and start walking with authority. You begin to make decisions rooted in reason, not reflex. You stop apologizing for having standards and start embodying them without explanation, without hesitation. Your values are no longer suggestions. They are commands to yourself, lived out with intention. You become unshakable. Not because the world stopped shaking, but because you stopped being moved by it. Not because problems disappeared, but because your posture toward them changed. You are no longer easily provoked, thrown off course by temporary discomfort or the unpredictable nature of others. You become the still point in a spinning world. Because your center is no longer up for negotiation, it's not swayed by opinion nor shaken by rejection. You've built a firewall around your clarity. That firewall guards your focus, your peace, your pace. And from that center, everything you do becomes intentional, not emotional, not impulsive, not desperate, but composed, deliberate, and rooted in control. You start leading your life instead of reacting to it. You no longer stumble from one emotional high to the next. You walk forward with clarity and composure. Every word, every action, every silence becomes a reflection of self-possession. Each choice reveals a person who governs themselves, not because it's easy, but because it's necessary. Self-governance becomes your daily discipline, and that control becomes your peace, a peace that does not demand calm circumstances, because it comes from your capacity to remain calm through any storm. It's a peace that doesn't beg the world to soften, but meets the world with sharpened focus. It does not retreat from difficulty, but endures with wisdom. That peace becomes your power, a power not flaunted, but felt, not theatrical, but steady. It's the kind of power that doesn't require validation or announcement. It speaks through consistency, a power that does not shout but sustains, a power that transforms you from within and radiates through everything you touch. It affects how you show up in your work, your relationships, and your challenges. It creates a quiet gravity. People sense it, even if they can't name it. And that is the most powerful kind of strength, the kind that doesn't need to prove itself, only to live in alignment with itself. When something triggers you, pause, count to 10, breathe, feel the heat rising, the heart rate shifting, the old habits ready to take the wheel. This is the first gate of self-mastery, awareness. Then choose stillness. Even if the storm brews inside, choose not to be swept away. Become the observer instead of the reactor. Create space between the sensation and the decision. That space is your power. That space is where wisdom lives. Ask yourself with full presence, what is the most honorable way to respond? Not the loudest, not the fastest, not the one that feeds your ego. The most honorable, the most composed, the most rooted in reason and aligned with the person you are becoming. Let your next move be a mirror of your highest self, not your lowest impulse. Then act, not from impulse, but from integrity, from vision, from principle, from your inner standard, not from social pressure. Act in a way that strengthens you, not weakens you. In a way that earns your own respect long after the moment has passed. Do this consistently, especially in moments when no one is watching, and your character will begin to sculpt itself. Like a chisel tapping against marble, each response carves a deeper definition of who you are. Slowly, precisely, permanently, not through performance, but through presence, not through show, but through substance. This is how the Stoic sharpens his edge, not in grand declarations, but in the quiet discipline of choosing control over chaos, wisdom over wrath, and direction over distraction. And with each moment mastered, you become the sculptor of your soul. Chapter 6. Letting go of the need to be understood. There is a quiet desperation in those who feel unheard. The yearning to be seen, to be validated, to be understood by others can become a prison. The Stoics knew this. They taught that the need to be understood is often the enemy of understanding oneself. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "Don't waste the rest of your time here worrying about what other people do unless it affects the common good. It will keep you from doing anything useful. What does it serve to beg for understanding from those who do not know themselves? The path to peace is not paved with explanation. It is built through inner alignment. When you let go of the desire to be understood, you begin to understand yourself with greater clarity. When you stop seeking affirmation, your thoughts become more honest. When you release the obsession with others' perception, your actions become more authentic. You do not owe anyone your story. You owe yourself your growth. Your energy is not for constant clarification, it is for construction. Not everyone will understand your silence, your choices, your vision. Some will misread your discipline as distance, your focus as arrogance, your evolution as betrayal. That is not your burden to carry. You are not here to fit within their frame. You are here to build your own. You are not here to be explained. You are here to become someone that needs no defense, no validation, no approval. To become the kind of person whose presence speaks louder than any explanation ever could. Identify three things in your life that you've been over-explaining. Let go of the need to justify them. Write a single sentence of clarity for yourself about each one. Post it somewhere private. Let that be your new standard. Clarity for you, not approval from others. Chapter 7. Embrace the isolation of excellence. Excellence is often lonely. The top is not crowded. The journey to self-mastery requires a kind of solitude most people run from. It demands an inner stillness that most never cultivate. But the Stoics did not fear isolation. They embraced it. They used it to sharpen thought, deepen reflection, and clarify intention. Solitude was not an absence of connection, it was the presence of focus. It was the mental and spiritual space in which greatness could be forged. Epictetus lived much of his life as a slave, then a teacher, and always as a philosopher. His wisdom was not cultivated through social approval, but through silence and suffering. His strength was not validated by crowds, but by endurance. He said, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid." The path of growth does not come with applause. It comes with doubt, confusion, and delay. It comes with seasons of invisibility. But in those unseen seasons, something powerful happens. Discipline deepens, vision sharpens, the soul matures. Those who chase recognition rarely find purpose. Those who chase purpose often find themselves walking alone, but never aimless. They walk with quiet conviction. There is a deep power in solitude. When it is chosen, not feared, it becomes your forge. Your mind becomes your temple. Your spirit becomes unshaken. In solitude, you hear your real thoughts without interference. In solitude, you realign with your values without distortion. It is not emptiness, it is elevation. To focus on yourself, to rise beyond mediocrity, you must become comfortable with being misunderstood, misjudged, or ignored. You must learn to value progress over praise, integrity over attention. Greatness has always grown in silence, not in spectacle. The most powerful roots grow underground. Let yours grow in the quiet. Let them hold you firm when the world is loud. This is the price of excellence and the privilege of self-mastery. Schedule one day each week where you engage in focused solitude. Turn off all notifications, speak only when necessary. During this time, reflect on your path, your purpose, and your habits. Make adjustments. Use that quiet to realign. Solitude is not punishment, it's preparation. Chapter 8. The Armor of Consistency. While others search for magic formulas and shortcuts, the Stoic builds armor with daily discipline. He does not seek to hack the process, he becomes the process. Nothing is more powerful than consistency, not talent, not passion, not praise. Consistency is the great amplifier. The person who shows up again and again with resolve will outlast the one who waits for motivation. The one who acts, even when it's mundane, will surpass the one who waits for it to feel meaningful. Consistency is not a glamorous word. It lacks spark. It doesn't glitter or attract attention. But in Stoic philosophy, it is everything. Marcus Aurelius journaled daily, not for applause, but for alignment. Seneca wrote letters regularly, not for fame, but for refinement. Epictetus taught repetition of thought and principle, not for novelty, but for mastery. They knew that the mind, like the body, is sculpted through steady effort. You do not become disciplined by thinking about discipline. You become disciplined by doing the same meaningful thing again and again, until it becomes who you are. One of the greatest lies of the modern world is that your life must constantly change, improve, or become extraordinary. But the Stoic sees virtue in stability. The man who is the same in rain and sunshine, in silence and in storm, he is rare. And that rarity is his strength. He is not swayed by mood, nor shifted by trend. He is not controlled by urgency, nor addicted to excitement. He shows up not because he feels like it, but because he made a vow to his values. He knows that repetition builds identity, and identity directs destiny. You do not need new routines, you need better consistency. You do not need perfect days, you need repeated effort. Consistency is what builds the quiet power to endure, the mental muscle to continue, and the spiritual resolve to stay centered. Build a rhythm. Set a standard. Do not break it. not for failure, not for boredom, not for praise. Do it because it builds who you are. Do it because it keeps you anchored when life tempts you to drift. Do it because the only true shortcut is showing up daily without fail. Pick one action that supports your mental, physical, or spiritual strength. Do it daily. No negotiation. Track it. Do not let feeling decide for you. Let character lead. Over time, you'll find that the act is not what changes you. It's the discipline behind it. Chapter 9. Silence as Strength. In an age of endless noise, silence is rebellion. In a world obsessed with self-expression, silence is power. To be silent is not to be invisible, it is to be sovereign. The Stoics practice silence not as withdrawal, but as strength. A quiet man is often the most dangerous. He listens, thinks, and moves with clarity. He absorbs information before responding. He measures his words and withholds his reactions. His silence is not emptiness, it is preparation. His stillness is not avoidance, it is strategy. Seneca said, "Speech is the mirror of the soul. As a man speaks, so is he." But the wise man knows when not to speak. He knows that truth does not shout. Virtue does not scream. Wisdom waits. It does not compete with noise. It makes space for deeper discernment. In a culture where everyone is speaking louder to be heard, the one who chooses silence speaks the loudest truth, for silence allows the soul to surface. It is in silence that a man hears his real thoughts, uncovers his real motives, and sharpens his real direction. Silence protects you from reacting. It buys you time. It preserves your energy. It shields you from saying what cannot be unsaid. It grants you the pause required to rise above impulse and ground yourself in principle. It reveals who you are when the noise is stripped away. In silence, the mind settles. In silence, intention sharpens. In silence, clarity is reborn. When you strip away external influence, you are left only with the sound of your inner compass. And if you've cultivated it well, that sound is strong. You do not owe the world your constant thoughts. You do not have to announce every move. You are allowed to work in peace and let your growth reveal itself in time. Let your actions whisper your discipline. Let your stillness echo your strength. Let your restraint demonstrate your command. The Stoic knows what you hold back defines you more than what you release. What you don't say tells the world what you've mastered. To be quiet in a loud world is not weakness, it is weight. And that weight builds presence. That presence builds power. Practice 1 hour of intentional silence daily. No speaking, no responding, no posting. Just observe, listen, think, reflect. Let that hour refine your thoughts before they become speech. Silence sharpens clarity. Chapter 10. The Quiet Power of Becoming. The Stoic does not chase recognition. He becomes, quietly, relentlessly. He does not seek attention, for he knows that what is done for applause dies with silence. While the world broadcasts ambition, the Stoic refines it. While others talk of their dreams, he shapes his days. While others shout, he sharpens. He does not need to perform because he is too focused on transforming. Becoming is not loud. It is daily. It is disciplined. It is done when no one is watching. It is not rushed. It is repeated. The Stoic does not chase moments. He builds momentum. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one." That is the essence of the Stoic journey. Not debate, not display, but demonstration. Becoming is internal, it is self-forged, and it is never finished. Because to be Stoic is not to arrive, it is to continue. It is to chip away at weakness, to polish character, to strengthen conviction. It is a process measured in actions, not announcements. Each day, each choice, each small victory builds a life that speaks without words. You do not need to prove anything. You need only to progress. You do not need to be admired. You need to be aligned. Your value does not increase when others notice. It increases when you notice the gap between who you were and who you are becoming, and you choose to close it. The world may never clap. It may never notice. That's fine. You will. You will know the weight of your own effort. You will carry the confidence of consistency. And that is enough. When you choose the quiet path of growth, of discipline, of thought, you begin to notice something strange. You feel lighter, clearer, freer. Not because life got easier, but because you became stronger. You begin to walk with conviction, not confusion. You begin to speak less, but say more. You begin to seek less and contribute more. You stop proving. You start becoming. And one day, without announcement, you'll realize you've become someone the old you would look up to. Someone not built on noise, but on character. Not defined by status, but by substance. And that is the true Stoic reward. Not the crowd, but the character forged in quiet repetition. Each night, reflect on this question. What did I become today? Not what you achieved, not what you avoided. What did you become? Stronger, clearer, calmer, wiser. Let that answer shape the next day. Let becoming, not appearing, be your lifelong pursuit. This is the truth that most people spend their lives running from. Nobody cares. And that's exactly why you must. You must care about your growth. You must care about your mind. You must care about your soul. Not for applause, not for followers, but for you. The Stoics never asked for attention. They asked for discipline. They asked for focus. They asked for virtue. And they gave the world something rare. Men and women who became better, not louder. Stop waiting for someone to care. Stop begging for someone to notice. Start noticing yourself. Start caring for yourself. Start building yourself, quietly, boldly, daily. The world may not be watching, but you are. That is enough.